Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for Sunday Morning Alive right here on our website, a Sunday morning sermon wherever you are in the world connected to the World Wide Web. That's why you're here today. We greet you whatever time it is. Right now it's time to get in the Bible, get in the Word of God, get holy instructions from the Word of God. We're living in the last of the last days. I don't believe there's a prophecy teacher, anyone who studies the prophecies and look at the times that we are living in, that would disagree that we are living in a time when Jesus Christ could come at any moment. We're living in a time when the devil knows he has but a short time, and he's pulled out all the stops. He's doing everything he can to get us to go with the flow instead of stand true to God. I've said used a term before that I saw actually in a Christian bookstore decades ago. I don't know who wrote the book, but I didn't even read the book. I couldn't afford the book at the time. But I'm going to tell you one thing. The title got a hold of me and never let me go. And it simply was Upstream Christians in a Downstream World. Every one of us are living in a culture today that is trying to force its morals upon us, force us to go along with in order to be socially acceptable and politically correct. And as Christians, we are followers of Jesus Christ, and we bow to no other God. And today, every Christian needs to take a stand. This is no time to be vacillating and waffling on our faith. Actually, the scripture said we should put up a real fight in the book of Jude. Put up, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Not just the truth, that body of truth that was built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets and Christ himself as the chief cornerstone, but to live that truth, walk out that truth, embrace it, and stand true to the truth. Hallelujah. Today I have so much to say and so little time to say it. If you have your Bible, turn with me once again to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. And we're going to review for just a moment. This is our third in the series on the subject, modern day Daniels in a cultural lion's den. It's so important that we stand true to God in this time, especially now, that we as Christians follow Jesus closer and more committedly and devotedly than we have ever followed him, because the pressure is on to compromise. When Israel sinned, lost their battles, and went down into Babylon under the rule and reign of Nebuchadnezzar, here in the book of Daniel, we think immediately of Daniel and the lion's den. That is very true. We think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the fiery furnace. But as I said in the beginning of the teaching, this is not just about the lion's den or the fiery furnace. There was another danger to them, even more subversive and subtle, but more dangerous than the lion's den. God took care of that. He shut to the mouth of the lion. Oh, God took care of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace because there was a fourth man in the fire. They were not in that trial, that place that could have consumed them by themselves. When they stood true to God, God stood with them in the fire, and the fire not only didn't burn them up, it didn't even kindle them, not only kindle upon them, not only that, but when they came out of the fire, unburned and nothing singed even, there was not even the smell of smoke upon them. When God delivers, I'm going to tell you, when God delivers you, and He is a delivering God, He'll deliver you by taking you through, or he'll deliver you from. But however he delivers you, I want you to know the devil will not have one little bit of victory over you. That's a whole other message, but it's a good one. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, if you read those scriptures, Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, you're going to find out that Nebuchadnezzar took the brightest and best of the countries and the peoples and nations he had conquered, and he integrated them into the Babylonian culture to use whatever talents, abilities, whatever they brought to further the kingdom of Babylon and strengthen the kingdom of Babylon. And in order to do that, he did several things. He changed what they read. He changed what they ate. He sent food from his own table to them, because he was indoctrinating them and working to bring Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel to bow to other gods, to bow to the gods of Babylon and forget their heritage as covenant children of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He sought to change their language so that they would begin to speak in the language of Babylon. Sound familiar? You know, this thing worked so good for him. It didn't work on Daniel. It didn't work on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But it worked on so many people. And I'm concerned that it's working on Christians today. When we start speaking in the language of the world, and we begin to take upon ourselves the world view, or the view that the world has, and he begin to change their education and give them books to read on Babylonian culture, he sought to influence their minds. And then he went so far as to change their names to distance them from their heritage as covenant children of God, the seed of Abraham. Oh, friend of mine, the enemy is good at what he does, but God is better. And we serve a God with whom it says, he that's in us is greater than he that's in the world. But for that power to overcome, to be released in us, we need to separate ourselves from this culture. Forget about being socially acceptable. You can't follow Jesus and ever attain that, and you shouldn't have that as a goal in your life. Forget about being politically correct. You can't follow Jesus and do that. There's a lot of people who name the name of Christ who absolutely, when it comes time to even vote, they vote. And I'm not here to get, well, I can't help but be political to a degree. Who you vote for? Are you going to vote for someone that is against God, that is against the Bible, that is against the Judeo-Christian ethic that the Bible, that our nation was founded on because of the Word of God? Can you be a follower of Jesus and promote that God calls an abomination simultaneously? Can you eat at the table of demons and the table of God simultaneously for some kind of personal gain or social acceptance? No, of course not. Friend of mine, I'm going to tell you right now, we need Christians to rise up and just be Christian today. And understand what Christian means. Christian means a follower of Jesus Christ. And the culture that we're in today is really permeated by the spirit of Antichrist and anti-God. Jesus said, listen, if the world love you, you don't have anything to boast in. Marvel not if the world hate you, because it hated me before it hated you. And if any man would live godly, the scripture says, we're going to suffer persecution. All those, no exception. So if you're still wanting to be politically correct, if you're still wanting to be socially acceptable, if you still want to run with the same old crowd that you ran with in order to be accepted, that you, before you came to Christ, friend of mine, there's a dire warning. There's a very danger in that today, because this culture is serious about getting you to conform to it and to pull you away from God. That's why we've got to be upstream Christians in a downstream world. Nebuchadnezzar sought to change their language, and he was succeeding in the children, many of the children of Israel, because the children that were taken down into Babylon with their parents began to speak half in their Jewish language, Hebrew, and half in the language of the Babylonians. Ultimately, he sought to change what they read, to re-educate them. The target was their minds. He wanted to change their minds. And then he wanted to change their names or their identity, to distance them from their legacy and heritage as the children of the true and the living God. Amen. Listen to this in Daniel 1 and verse 6. It said, "Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and unto Hananiah of Shadrach, and unto Mishael of Meshach, and of Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion from the king's meat, nor with the wine that he drank." Listen, he changed his name, but he didn't change his mind. Changed his name, but he didn't change his heart. Forced meat that had been offered to idols on him, but he didn't eat the meat. It is possible to live in this fallen world, but not be of the world. That is exactly what Jesus prayed in John 17. He said, "Father, I'm not praying you take them out of the world, but I'm praying you keep them from the evil one." Is it possible to live godly in an ungodly world? Is it possible to be a follower of Jesus when the flow is antichrist and away from God? Yes, it's not only possible. Amen. It is God's command to us. I'm going to tell you, you take a stand for the Lord, God's going to stand with you. If you land in a furnace, there's going to be a fourth man in the fire. Hallelujah. If you stand for the Lord, it may land you in a lion's den. But when you get in the den, he's going to send an angel and shut to the mouth of the lion. Remember, Satan is a roaring, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist. How? Steadfast in the faith. Because when you take your stand, God is going to stand with you. And all of the resources of heaven, the power to overcome in and through the Holy Spirit himself, is given to us. Praise God. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And this eunuch saw Daniel keeping faith and being faithful to his God. What an impression it makes on those around us when we refuse to compromise and we refuse to make concessions and we stand up for what we believe in, and more importantly, who we believe in, by committing ourselves to follow him. He's literally sought to change what they stood for, their loyalty to God. That's why Jesus said, "When I come back to the earth, when he returns, shall I find faith?" Not faith to get a Mercedes, not faith to get a mansion on a hill, but faith in that sense and context, pistis is the word in the Greek, and it means fidelity. It means, am I going to find a church, a body of believers that are faithful to me? Amen. And I pray that you and I might become and be faithful to God if we're not already that devoted to Him, because the pressure is on. That's why Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And be no more, that you might prove or exemplify, just like Daniel was doing and the three Hebrew children did, this fidelity to God. Amen. They would not bow and they would not burn. Hallelujah. Listen, today the pressure is on. The world is trying to press you into its mold, just like Nebuchadnezzar was trying to press them into the mold of the pagan Babylonian world. Friend of mine, we're in a world that is becoming more and more like Babylon. Unless you've been hiding under some rock, you know very well that the United States, our country, not just globally, but in our country, is becoming more and more like ancient Babylon. More pagan with each passing day. Everywhere you look, we're confronted with the spirit of this age. If it feels good, do it. Believe anything you want, just keep it to yourself. A twisted view of tolerance is our main virtue. The only sin is intolerance. Christianity is but of many cruel jokes. It's portrayed in a bad light in the news and in the entertainment media. Blasphemy is in and reverence is out. That's why Jesus said you can't serve two masters. That's why the scriptures teach love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. It's not the earth. It's not this wonderful world, the planet earth that God made and called good. It is a system, a satanic system that is influencing all of the minds of the people of this world. In fact, the Bible says that the God of this world, speaking of the devil, little g, amen, has blinded the minds of men. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar was seeking to do to Daniel and the three Hebrew children. He sought to change what they stood for, their loyalty. That's why Jesus said, when I return, am I going to find faithful followers? Am I going to find faith, fidelity? That's what it's talking about. The four young men had names which reflected their Hebraic or Hebrew heritage and their ties to their true and living God. He changed the name of Daniel, which meant God is judge. He changed the name of Hananiah, which meant God, Jehovah see, is gracious. He changed the name of Azariah to God is my help. He changed the name of Mishael, which meant who is like our God. Listen to what he changed them to. He changed their names to the false gods of Babylon. He changed Daniel's name to Belshazzar, which meant Bel will protect, not Jehovah. He changed the name of Shadrach to a name Shadrach, which meant Aku, the moon deity that they worshipped. And Abednego meant servant in the Babylonian name that meant servant of Nebo or Venus. You see, and Meshach, who is like Aku, instead of who is like God. You see, he wanted them to go so far as to forget the true and living God and worship the man-made gods, the demon-inspired gods of ancient Babylon. Friend of mine, God's grace is available to each of us. If we purpose in our heart to follow Jesus Christ, we will find His power available to us by the Holy Spirit to keep our commitment to Him. Dear friends, the last days is all about the fact that a power, a resurrection power, the power that raised Jesus bodily from the dead, has been unleashed. It's afoot. It's out in this world. It's in you, and it's in me if you're a child of God. Listen, be steadfast. We're in the midst of a conflict. We're in the midst of a struggle, but there is overcoming power available to us in and through the Holy Spirit. Listen to Titus 2:11 and through 14. It said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness," what a different teaching on grace. There's a hyper grace message out there that says you don't need it all to think about living an overcoming life or living godly. That would be a work, and anything like that would take away from the purpose of grace. No, listen to this carefully. See, grace is not a cover up for compromise. I want to say that again. The grace of God has never been meant to cover up for compromise. Titus 2:11 through 14, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us," hallelujah, "that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and listen, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." These are not works to get saved. These are works that prove that we are saved. Amen. It's not working for it. It's works that confirm that it's actually occurred in our life. Titus 2:11 through 14, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, who gave Himself to do what? To redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do that is good. Hallelujah. Listen to Psalm 4 and verse 3. It's about sanctification. Listen, but know, Psalm 4 verse 3, "But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for Himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto Him." Glory to God. Dear friend of mine, I want you to know God. The eyes of the Lord, it says, run to and fro throughout the earth to show Himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward Him. This is not just a faith issue. This is indeed a faithfulness issue. Praise God. If we are faithful unto the Lord, amen, He's ready to hear and answer our cry. That's why when we pray for the nation, it involves faithfulness to God on the part of the person and people who are praying. Amen. That we not only pray for America and sinners to get saved and people to get right in our nation, but we pray for ourselves that we get truly right with God. "If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. I will hear from heaven. I will heal their land. You see, when we stand true to God, it's going to make an impact on other people. If they see us being faithful to our God, amen. Oh, yeah, not everyone. Of course not. No. Jesus said, marvel not if the world hates you. Worldly people won't appreciate that. But you know what? They will appreciate our sincerity and our integrity. When Nebuchadnezzar saw that Daniel would not bow to the false gods of Babylon, but be true to the God of Israel, he changed his mind about the whole thing and said, listen, the God of Israel is the true God. Amen. When they saw the three Hebrew children delivered from that furnace, and Daniel not eaten by those lions, and saw the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego delivered from the fiery furnace without the smell of smoke, he said, their God is the true and the living God. Could it be that many people that are persecuting us right now, many, some, not everyone, never everyone, but someone is going to say, that God must be the true God. He's answering prayers. He's helping them. They're standing true to their convictions. Maybe it is true. They're willing to sacrifice if necessary to stand true to their God. Well, what are we standing true to? Who are we devoted to? What is the world offering us? What do they have that we don't? Where are they getting this peace that passes understanding? Where are they getting this joy, amen, in their life? Can't they see what's going on? Why are not they drinking themselves to death, shooting up, toking up, and drinking up? Why, where, what are, who are they? Is this real? I remember a dear family member coming to me, and he just consumed a six-pack of beer, and he's a little bit lit and a little bit high, and getting ready to go back to another state. But I walked out with him to the car. Yes, he had a driver to take him home, but he drove the next morning with a hangover home. But he looked at me. We grew up together. We sinned together. We were both sinners. Were you a sinner before you got saved? I was. We all were. And he asked me, call me by my name. And he looked at me and he said, is it real? Is it real? He saw the change in me and he wanted to know, is it real? Is this really real? Have you fallen for some lie, or is it real? And I called him by name, and I said, it's more real than the ground that we are standing on right now, more real than the globe called the world that we're living in. This is real. When Jesus comes into your heart, he changes you from the inside out. Praise God. Jesus is coming soon. God is real, and the power of God available to you and I to stand, the grace to stand, and the power to withstand the pressure and the pull of the world. That's why Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, see, to make a real commitment, to make a real devoted commitment, I beseech you by the mercies of God in response to Christ on the cross, to the grace that flowed from his sacrifice, to offer our body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, that you might prove or exemplify what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God, and be ye no more conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. That we might be holy examples exemplifying the difference that it makes when you bow to the true God and you say no to the gods of this world and the gods of man. And you quit going along with man-made gods, even money and fortune and fame and power and sin. And listen, and you bow to the God who made man, and you come to know Him through Jesus Christ, believe me, He will give you everything you need to stand, and having done all to stand and withstand the pressure to be pressed into the world's mold. That's what it means to be conformed to the world. Amen. To let God, because we're offering ourselves a living sacrifice, conform us to the image of His Son, that we might become more and more like Jesus instead of more and more like this world that is beginning to mirror the sins and the attitudes and the activities of ancient Babylon. We have come a long way into this postmodern world, but the same old devil and the same old demons, same old fallen angels are at work in our world today that were destroying lives and souls in ancient Babylon. Friend of mine, there's a scripture speaking of spiritual Babylon. It says Babylon, Babylon, and financial Babylon in the book of Revelation is fallen. God is calling that is not as though it were, because it's going to happen once again. Babylon is going to fall. And here's what He says, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. Not the ancient city itself, but the same moral decay, the same anti-God and anti-Christ attitude that the world is trying to push and force upon everybody today. Christians, above all people, should stand as a separated people, a sanctified people, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So Jesus said, Father, don't take them out just yet. They're the witness, they're the salt, they're the light. Don't take them out just yet, but keep them from the evil one. And that's why we have holy instructions from the Word of God today. And I pray we will take it to heart, that we might be kept by the power of God until the very day of redemption itself. Dear friend of mine, if you don't know Jesus today, the Scripture says of you that you're without hope and without God in the world. And that means that the devil is going to press you into his mold. He's going to try to blind you to truth. He's going to try to confuse you. Ultimately, he wants to deceive you so that he might destroy you. Jesus said the thief came, speaking of the devil, to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Jesus has come into our fallen world. He came to a manger in Bethlehem, the second person of the Godhead. He became incarnate in flesh. But He didn't stay in that manger. That was the beginning of His journey to the cross, that He who knew no sin might become sin, not a sinner, but be treated as a sinner without ever sinning, to offer complete, innocent, sacrificial blood, that God might accept the sacrifice by punishing Him for your sins and mine, and offering us through Him an opportunity to receive grace and mercy, forgiveness and pardon, to be transformed then into the image of His Son more and more. I'm not there yet, and I've been serving the Lord for all of these decades and years, preaching the gospel for almost 49 years. Oh, dear friend, come to Christ today. Come to Him just like you are. Come to Him with all of your sins and all of your hang-ups, all of your weaknesses, all of your sinful proclivities. Come to Christ just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bids me come to Thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Come to Jesus. Repent of your sin. Receive Him as your Lord and Savior. And let Him seal you with the Holy Spirit and save you from the wrath to come. In Jesus' name, amen.